Hallelujah.
So, tonight's teaching. I'll try not to go too fast when I get excited. I have a story that hopefully I think you might be able to relate. Have you ever been riding in a car with somebody and you're just driving and there's no talking? Talking is not necessary, right? It's just, man, you're... Hey, you see that tree? And you start a conversation, you make an effort. You ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you do it? And it could be, hey, did you hear what happened to the Kansas City Chiefs? Or, and the other person looks at the tree and goes, that reminds me of a story. There's times that I thought I knew my parent. I think I know my parents very well, and every once in a while I'll be in one of those moments and something like that will happen, and they'll start telling me a story that I never knew existed. Here they are. I thought I knew all their great stories. And the point is that in life, if you make an effort to ask a question, and sometimes you make an effort to start small talk and nothing ever happens. At least I tried. And we all do that, right? The teaching today, I want to point out burning thorn bushes. And here's Moses made an effort to go investigate. What is this thing? And we can be a burning thorn bush also. And Dad's prophecy was right on point too. Because when you shine light, what do wicked people do?
Back off.
Back off. Even the name Yahweh. Stop. Don't. Hey, don't project that over here. Why do you like it? And do it anyways. Are you shining your life? And this is rhetorical because there's times in my life that I want to be welcome. Are you shining your light to be liked by men? Or are you shining your light to be liked by Him?
Yeah.
And it's just a good question. And because there's going to be times if you turn on your light, you're going to lose friends. And we all miss the mark. Well, you know, we lose friends or we lose relationships at different times. But in this life, Yahweh and His Son are in a car with us. And we're going to look at some examples of some people who made an effort to start a conversation. So some of the greatest things, specifically in the book of Acts, these things you see of wonderful things happening, was somebody making an effort. Moses made an effort. What is this thing? Was Moses busy? Yeah, he worked for his father-in-law. He's got sheep. He's got all kinds of things. Was Moses a good steward? Are you kidding me? Who worked harder than Moses? Mm-hmm. I don't got any time for that, but he made an effort. What would have happened if he didn't make that effort? Or Abraham, seeing the ram. What is that? I'm a little stressed out right now. I'm not too inquisitive. He was cognitive. They were cognitive that they're not alone in this room or in the car, this life. Here we are in your life, all of our lives. We're in a car. And guess who's with us? Yahweh and His only begotten Son. And we're connected. We got something in common. Yahweh's favorite subject lives inside you. And He sits there, and there's awkward pauses, there's no communication at times, and sometimes you'll make an effort to start a conversation and nothing happens. Does Yahweh see your heart? Yeah. These people who saw burning bushes and became burning bushes were intentional. They were looking, what does this mean? What could this mean? And look what they did. And so tonight, I want to just kind of look at this. It's seeking out burning bushes. I used to think that, wow, wouldn't it be great if you just saw a bush on fire like Moses? I've never had anything like that. And somebody corrected me because you've had burning bushes your whole life. And probably you missed 90% of them because you weren't looking or you're too busy. Mm-hmm. The people who saw burning bushes were intentional and they separated themselves. What does to separate mean in the Hebrew? Holy. I'm in a relationship. I'm in a car with Yahweh and Christ. If the radio is on and there's confusion, you might turn it off. Why? Because the purpose of my life is to glorify Him and His Son. And the purpose of mankind is fellowship with the Father. That is the purpose of my life. And we'll be in our life and you just wonder how many times. And Yahweh's looking at each one of us going, there went another burning bush. I wonder how many times he's going to miss that. And we look back and every once in a while, there was something about those people. And I think if we are intentional with Moses and the burning, it was a thorn bush. It wasn't a bush. Yahweh put that in there. If we're intentional, we'll start seeing more and more. And not just seeing burning thorn bushes, we can become it. To where we are sent. And other people are like, get that fire out of here. You're going to burn everything up. I don't work for you, man. You got to stop talking about President Trump and these things or those things or Malay. Stop talking about those things. You're like, that kind of hurts. You don't like the fire, but I don't work for you. I work for him. And if they reject you, then Yahweh might tell you. But we'll turn to Exodus chapter 3. Burning thorn bushes. And what's really important, I think, is if I did have a tattoo, it would be Hebrews 11:6, because it says, I was talking to Vero recently or today, I said, it is with Yahweh, nothing is impossible. And then in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who has faith, right? Mm-hmm. But in Hebrews 11, so it looks like there's nothing that's going to be impossible. It is also impossible to be well-pleasing without what?
Faith.
Faith. So in order to have a burning bush, Moses questioned, what is this thing? Okay? He made it, he was intentional. He made it a priority because the purpose of Moses' life was not to take care of sheep. The purpose of his life is to glorify the Father, and there's a new kingdom coming. Could this be something of his? And then he went to the burning bush. When we go to the burning bushes, be ready. He's going to ask you to produce faith. Because your flesh hates producing faith. Your flesh wants to be God. You prove it to me, and then I'll decide. And Yahweh goes, that's not how it works, man. Humble yourself. And then you bring a sacrifice of faith to me. Because what did he tell Moses in Exodus chapter 3? Moses was not looking for this conversation. Not exactly. What happened to Moses' stomach? I'm an 80-year-old man. I got two kids. I got a wife. I'm just thinking about Moses being 80 years old. I got some serious issues here, Yahweh. You can't pick me. My two sons aren't even circumcised. And I haven't even talked to my wife about this. Because you read later on, they're not circumcised. What's that all about? I'm trying to put myself in Moses. How could I be the guy? Some leader or whatever, I don't know. But when we go there, be ready. He's going to ask you to do something incredible. And if you are prepared and intentional, then when he called you to the meeting, you say, I am not an unbeliever being called to the principal's office. Mm-hmm. I am not somebody who has bad taxes being audited by the IRS. I am the son of the living Elohim. And to my ability, I am the most holy that I can be, with few exceptions. When he calls me, I'm ready for the riddle. What do you want me to do? And if you do that, I'm ready to do this. How well pleasing is that to him? Mm-hmm. Oh, great. He's going to ask me to do something I don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it will turn to Exodus chapter 3. That's page 85. But instead, somebody going, pick me. My father did me a great service when I went into sports. I was not gifted athletically. But Dad says, anytime your coach asks for anything, be the first one to volunteer. I'm like, what if I don't know how to do it? Be the first one to volunteer. And I did it. And do you know what happened? They go, you don't even know how to kick a ball. Okay. You say, no. Okay. All right. Go back. I need a long snapper, a volunteer. Have you ever done that? No, get out of here. But the coach would see this person so ready, mm-hmm. they'd be honored. And I learned that, and I coached it too. So always be the first to volunteer, especially if you don't know how to do it. I mean, within reason. And the coach would go, that is a reliable servant. And that's what Yahweh said about Moses. Trusty in all my house. This guy is ready to go. That's not how it started, though. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses, chapter 3, verse 1, was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, priest of Midian. So he led forth the flock behind the desert and came to the mountain of Elohim to Horeb. Then appeared messenger of Yahweh unto him in a flame of fire from the midst of a thorn bush. Did Moses know he's going to be talking to a messenger of Yahweh?
No.
When angels in the English, was it angelos?
Angeles.
When they appear to people, they usually don't know who they are. They don't know they're talking to a messenger of Yahweh. Why? It takes faith to be well pleasing to him who sent it. Mm-hmm. He's not going to roll up in a limousine with trumpets.
Yeah.
And so here this thing is, Moses has no idea that Yahweh is going, I wonder if he's going to come. So it's a messenger is waiting in a flame of fire from the midst of a thorn bush. So he looked and lo, the thorn bush burning with fire, and yet the thorn bush was not consumed. And I'm going to say right here that Moses, of all people, would have been praying three times a day. Here's Apostle Paul, here's Daniel, here are these people, their whole life orbited Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And maybe I don't have time. What are you supposed to be doing in 15 minutes? I'm supposed to be praying. Maybe this is one of those things. Have you ever had that where I'm supposed to be praying for somebody, then somebody asks for help? I don't got time for that. I got to go pray.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Is this one of those things? Okay. And so he looked and lo, the thorn bush. Okay, verse 3. And Moses said, let me turn aside and pray and see this great sight, why the thorn bush doth not burn up. And Yahweh, what's the next word?
Saw.
He saw. Yahweh was watching. Yahweh was watching Abraham too in Genesis. Abraham has the knife getting ready to slay his son out of obedience. And before the knife cuts his son, he has the angel say, Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. Now I know. Yahweh is watching all of us every single day. And remember, all those thorn bushes in your lives where it could have been with the way ministry or these things, Yahweh has those, but with Hebrews 11:6, what are going to be the thorn bushes going forward? Because the purpose of your life is to mature in your faith. So it could be really random things or whatever it is. But Yahweh saw it. Yahweh saw the thorn bush and he says, behold me. And then what happens? This is one of the reasons why I didn't want to have a communication with Yahweh when I was probably up until a teenager, because he's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to do that. And then what happens to Moses? Hey, I'm sending you something. So and Moses, what does he do? He questions it. It's okay to question. And actually, questioning something could be admirable when Yahweh does a burning thorn bush. He goes, I'm calling you to lead Bible study. If that's really you, okay, but what about this, or what about this, what about this? And Moses does. He questions it. And he asks it, and then you're going to go, man, that's a lot of faith. And Yahweh tells him, don't worry, we'll do it together. Right? So if he's asking you to do something, he's going, don't worry, I'll be in the car with you when we do it. I'll be invisible. You'll be my spokesperson. And when they mock you for speaking in tongues or talking about Malay, don't worry about what they say. You don't work for them anyways. Turn to Acts chapter 8.
Acts.
Yeah. Ocho. Mm-hmm. Now, Acts is great. There are so many of these illustrations of thinking about burning bushes, where Yahweh's getting somebody's attention. And praying three times a day, or you checking in. My mom and dad are great at that, bleeding, going and separating themselves over and over again, making themselves available. And every time you check in doesn't mean there's going to be a marvelous mission or something. It's about fellowship too. It could be nothing. And he's going to say, thanks Wendy, thanks for riding with me. And sometimes you just enjoying the company. Mm-hmm. You look over who's in the seat, and you're like, Yahweh's in the front seat, and Christ is in the back, and they don't want me to drive? Mm-hmm. Wow, people are booing me because I got Trump stickers and Malay stickers and Yahweh stickers in my car. They're yelling at me. I'm with these guys, man. This is great. But the fellowship, chapter 28, verse 26. And so a messenger of Yahweh spake unto Philip, saying, remember what Moses spoke to in the burning bush? A burning bush. How was it? I don't know, but... a messenger of Yahweh spake unto Philip, saying, arise and be journeying along southward unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the same desert. And I don't know if we have... Well, I'll keep reading. And rising he journeyed, and lo, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, one in power unto Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, had come to worship in Jerusalem, and was returning, and sitting in his chariot was reading the prophet Ishayahu. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself into the chariot. And running near, Philip heard him reading Ishayah the prophet, and said, dost thou understand what thou art reading? And so, how did the messenger talk to Philip? The scriptures are silent, but there's a really good chance he was praying. Mm-hmm. He was separating. And that's usually when Yahweh's speaking, with few exceptions. And he receives this information. We got to hear this testimony about a guy converting Muslims, and he wasn't successful. And then he meets a guy who is really successful converting Muslims. And the guy goes, what am I doing wrong? He goes, here, just be coached. We'll do what I tell you. He goes, I want you to locate the most religious Muslims in your area. They have to have been to Mecca at least once. And he goes, this whole list of the most religious. That's not the guy who this guy was targeting. He goes, no, I'm going there. There's this other guy. And the guy goes, why would you have me go after the most religious? And the teacher who was teaching this guy says, because I'm looking for a Saul of Tarsus. Because if you can convert a Saul of Tarsus, many people are going to follow. Mm-hmm. And so in that, that's going to be very specific. But in that case, here's Philip. Who is he going to go run up to? The queen? The
queen of Ethiopia.
Are there guards there? Would it be embarrassing to go pray for President Trump or Melania when they got Secret Service? Veronica, go pray for Melania right now. Well, there's Secret Service all around here. He won't give you the details. How am I going to do this? You have Secret Service or the bodyguards. You don't come close to them. How am I going to do this? And then he'll say, so here's Philip. And so just to get near this unit, what happened? I don't know. I don't want to convert Barack Obama. It should be, I'll be your hands and feet, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. In Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. And Yahweh said unto him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, lo, I'm here. Lord. And Yahweh said unto him, rise, go into the street which is called Straight, seek in the house of Judas one Saul by the name of Tarsus, for he is praying, and has seen a man, Ananias by name, coming in and laying on him his hands to the intent he should see. Ananias, what is he doing? He's being intentional. He's seeking Yahweh. Here I am. And then a vision comes. Here's the vision, the burning bush. Go do this. He's going to question it because this doesn't make sense. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many concerning this man how many evil things unto thy saints he had done in Jerusalem. And then it's going to go on and on and on. Be obedient. Now, the point of this is not to try to convert the most religious, because sometimes the most religious, even in Christianity, are the worst enemies. Mm-hmm. It could be, I want you to invite that janitor to a fundraiser. Or it could be whoever it is. It's just whoever you want me to go to, I'll go to. And if we're ready to produce faith, you got the unit of Candace of the Ethiopians. Next, here's a Saul of Tarsus. Here's these burning bushes. Here's what I got you to do. And what we'll see is that Philip was a burning bush, this eunuch. And here comes this burning bush. You're called to be the burning bush. You got Telios Ministries. You got the cards. You got Yahweh all over you. This guy is on point, ready to go. He's my advertisement. Wom, wom, this flashy light. Ready to go. What if he rejects? Don't worry about that. Your job is to shine the light. And what happens here? Philip got to be caught away like Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, man, isn't that cool? That Ananias, we'll get to meet Ananias sometime. Won't that be neat to get to see him on behind the scenes? Ananias being interviewed by Peter the Apostle. What happened? Saul of Tarsus. Oh, man, I had a hard time sleeping that night. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to go heal Barack Obama. chapter 9, verse 10. Did we do that one yet?
Yeah.
And now go to 10, verse 1. And here's two burning bushes. And so the two burning bushes here is going to be a centurion, and here's going to be Peter. But a certain man in Caesarea, by name Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Italian, devout and fearing Yahweh with his house, doing many alms unto the people, and supplicating Yahweh continually. What is he doing continually?
Okay.
He's seeking out burning bushes 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 5 times a day. And many times, some of the biggest revelations I get, I have no hint that today is the day. I'm like, well, I guess maybe I should. I got time. I haven't made time to read the scriptures today. I'm peaceful. All right. And I get on my knees and boom! He was waiting. Yahweh is watching to go, see what he does. And they're watching. Chuck gets down. Boom! Here's a revelation on variable annuities, how you can take things out without reducing the death benefit. How'd you do that? The messenger of Yahweh showed up. I mean, my dad had this revelation once, and here these really smart people were looking around going, where did you get this information? But here's going to be Cornelius in a vision. He saw a vision, okay? And he's going to see a burning bush. It's going to tell him what to do. Verse 4. He looked steadfastly at him, became full of fear, said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are gone up for memorial before Elohim or Yahweh. Now therefore send me into Joppa and fetch one Simon and Simon Peter. And you're going to go, man. We can read it on and skip on down to verse 9. At the same time, you know, this was just like Ananias and Saul, because Ananias was praying and Saul was praying at the same time or close to it. And here, about the same time, here's Cornelius seeking a burning bush, and about the same time, who else is seeking a burning bush?
Peter.
Boom! Yeah. It appears that something happened. And you see that where two matches burning independently, you put the two together and a flame is bigger than you add the two. And what's going on with that? In verse 9, now on the morrow, as those men were journeying unto the city, now on the morrow, as those men were journeying into the city, drawing near Peter, I guess this was on the morrow, he goes on the housetop and hear the whole thing. Here comes a burning bush to him, another message. He's making, but he's being intentional. He's seeking out the burning bush. He's going to see in a vision, and wait a minute, how does this even make sense? And with this illustration, if we are intentional each day, 3 times a day, are you meeting 3 times a day? Are you ready to make a faith offering before you meet him? No. You might want to get ready, because when he asks you to do it, you might not do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're ready to go, what is the greatest? One of the greatest things that happened in my life was getting to meet my wife. But in order to get there, I was asked, at least in my own understanding, that I was going to have to give up everything. And I had to sit there going, why do you want to talk to me? You're going to want me to give up my whole career, my job, move away? All of a sudden, what's the biggest thing you could ever ask? I'm like, you want me to give up everything? And that's not necessarily what he was communicating. But okay, could you do it? I don't know, but I'll show up. And you can imagine, what is the hardest thing he ever asked you to do? Do it. Do it. What is the hardest thing? And you go, okay, what's the worst case scenario? Just look at the skeletons in the closet or the monsters under the bed. Turn the lights on. It doesn't mean you're agreeing to do it. But you go, okay, would you do this? Or do you do X, Y, and Z? I don't know. I never even considered doing it, but would you do it for him? I don't know. You're next. Walter Cunningham, you're next. Oh boy, here we go. You go in and he's going, I've been wanting to talk to you. Did he watch your heart before you even went in and you make an offering considering giving something up? are making an incredible gift, give up all your IRAs or whatever, all the whatever. And he saw it and he went, yeah, you don't have to worry about that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Venice and I want you to take your wife out to eat and I want you to spend a minimum of $300 on dinner. You think you can do that? I'm going to need some confirmation on that because $300 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Good question. And he goes, $300 is the amount you're to take with you. And then you, okay, you get confirmation. What does this mean? There's a good chance that he's sending you to be a burning bush for somebody.
Yeah.
You go out to eat. You're sitting. The menu's $20 a piece. How am I going to spend $300? This doesn't make sense. This is get a bottle of wine. Here's drinks. The waiter seems nice, but he looks like a Muslim. This isn't making sense. It's not supposed to make sense. It's making faith. What's going on here? And all of a sudden you see a busboy. He goes, that's the one. Busboy, what's going on? How are you? I'm doing great. Do you need prayer for anything? Yes, my grandmother's this and this and that. He goes, here's $250 for the surgery. You walk away and he goes, you did it. Were you ready to do it? Did you make some faith? Boom. And we're going to miss it. And there'll be time to miss it. But he sees our heart. When we get on our knees and go, if I miss it, I'm sorry. But you see my intention. He goes, we're working with it.
Yeah.
We're working with it. And like a boat or a car, you got to be moving in order to steer it. And sometimes we need to do a 180, but just get moving. Chapter 9, verse 17. Did we read that? Oh, that's Peter doubting. What vision? And so, and that's when Cornelius shows up. And how cool is that? With at least in this illustration, from this perspective, is that here's Peter. Who is like Peter? Man, what a neat character, right? This guy's a real deal.
Yeah.
Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, man. You can call him out in front of everybody. He speaks up. To me, here's Peter. He's on fire as a burning bush. Not quite sure what this means, and it appears that a burning bush has sent him. Because it would appear that, at least from this perspective, when he saw Cornelius, do you think he got revelation or something? Something is really going on here. We just recently had Veronica's cousin in our house. A stranger comes in, sits right where my mom is. He knows nothing about me. Knows nothing about my ministry. He starts giving me testimonies about Yahweh's faithfulness. Goes right into it. He did this. 30 minutes later, I'm looking at this guy going, this guy's a burning bush. He's glowing. He doesn't even know who I am. And I believe at that moment, that night, I'm going, Veronica, something really big happened today. These two burning bushes, that was like Peter with Cornelius. He's looking at this guy. Who is this guy? That's the guy I want you to meet. He's not a Hebrew. I haven't seen anybody radiate like that since Andrew came and told me he found the Messiah. Okay. Chapter 16, verse 9 will be the last.
Acts?
Yeah, Acts 16.
Verse?
9, Nueve. Yeah, 16 is kind of hard to find in the Rotherham. And so, my parents are going to be going to Europe pretty soon. And it could be that the desire to go to Venice or these other things, it could be because it's his desire to do two or three things all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Sow some seeds, enjoy, because he's with you. Some of this trip could just be about you. I got to give a prophecy to somebody, another pod from South America. And he has seen so much of the world. And I said, it's so nice to get to meet a fellow adventurer. And this guy owns farmland. His name's Gianni.
Mm-hmm.
And then these words came out of my mouth. Isn't that great when he teaches you out of your own mouth, you start speaking? It said, the word was, this life is so short, we don't know when Christ is coming back. And our Father wants to show me all of his farm. The earth is his farm.
Yeah.
You think about going to the ranch, our ranch in Oklahoma, our family had it. Come here, I want to show you something. There's a cowboy cemetery. Here's the big, and here's Yahweh. Some of the stuff is just your Father wants to take you. I want to show you Venice. Yahweh wants to show me Venice? Yeah, I got some great stuff here. What is it? It's where Vivaldi. What? Who? Yeah, come here, you're going to love this, Chuck. And here you are, you're going to be going to the church where Vivaldi did these things. And you're with him. He goes, I know you'd like it. What'd you think of it? I loved it. You know what? I remember when I was telling Vivaldi to put those notes together. disappointed. Verse 9, chapter 16. And in a vision by night, and I'm going to say in a vision by night, it would be something, in a vision by night unto Paul appeared a man of Macedonia. There was standing and beseeching him and saying, come over to Macedonia and bring a succor. Now when the vision... Now when the vision he had seen, straightway he sought to go forth unto Macedonia, concluding that Yahweh had summoned us to tell the glad tidings unto them. Yeah, isn't that neat? Here he goes, alright, here's where we're going to go, because just earlier Yahweh goes, stop. Well, wait a minute, you told me to go here. Things change, Aaron. Things are not static. The people I was sending you to blew it. They attacked my son. They're off. We're going to go over here now. Here he goes. Apostle Paul, ready to go. Where's the burning bush? It could be he has you hiking up a hill to go seek a burning bush, and all of a sudden, it's gone. What's this? There's another one. Well, what was the point of this? Don't worry about it. Go get find the next burning bush and be the burning bush. So Yahweh, walking with each one of us every single day, they know we're at war with our own flesh. They know that we have the sins of Adam and Eve always fighting against them. They're up for the task. But it will help with us to imagine being in a car with them and for us to be starting conversations. Isn't it neat to be around a kid that wants to be around adults? There's a guy at the gym. He's 14 years old. I've got to prophesy over him and pray for him. He's invited me to his church tomorrow. I'm looking at this 14-year-old kid that wants to be around 40-year-old men. And he's shining, and the whole gym where we are is a very small gym. It's all people 30 and 40 years old, with a few exceptions. And he wants to be around us. And I'm like, isn't that neat? Well, how neat is it when we want to be around Yahweh and Christ? What do you want to talk about? Well, I don't hear anything, so I'm going to talk about what I like about you, my favorite subject. And how badly does Yahweh and Christ, because if you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father, right? How bad do they want to be a burning bush to us and to people? 1 Corinthians 14:39 tells us, covet to prophesy. And when we prophesy or speak in tongues and interpret, or lead somebody into speaking in tongues, they become that burning bush. Thank you, Father, that in Acts 2, the 120 obeyed your Son. They were called to go back to the town where your son was murdered. And they obeyed, not understanding. And they became burning bushes because they had the tongues of fire above their head. Thank you for helping us understand your word and the mission you have for each one of us. And it's none of our business what the other person is doing. But help us encourage the desires of the heart you have put upon each one of us, specifically in this room. Mom, don't wrestle with the things in family. Stop looking at family and the people around you. Look at Him. The purpose of your life is not to hold family together. It's to glorify your Father in heaven, who has never abandoned you. But to dance, and sing for Him. I see you taking your shoes off and starting to dance as if nobody's watching, but Yahweh is watching. Amen.
Amen.